So we're gonna go ahead and get our work session started. It is Tuesday, August 27th at 6:15 PM. We are meeting in the Community Center. And for our work session today, we only have one item on the agenda, which is the UTA transit presentation. So Ken Millington is here. He is the Utah County Representative with UTA. And we're happy to have you here, so just come on up.
Mayor, council members, thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you. My name is Ken Millington. As the mayor indicated earlier, I was appointed to be the trustee representing Utah and Tooele Counties on the three-member board. About a year ago, a year and a half ago, the legislature passed a new law that required a change in the governance of UTA. Make you familiar with that. And it established a three-member full-time board of trustees. I'm one of those three. The other two are Carlton Christensen, formerly a Salt Lake City Council member, and then worked in Salt Lake County for Ben McAdams for a number of years. He is the chair of the board. And the other member is Beth Holbrook. She represents Box Elder, Davis, and Weaver counties. She's the immediate past president of the Utah League of Cities and Towns, and so you may have met her or seen her in that capacity in the last few years. The three of us have the responsibility to see to it that UTA both meets the requirements of the new law that was passed, which included some corrections, much needed corrections to the governance of UTA, but also to consider very carefully the growth patterns, what we're doing with UTA, and how we're providing transit to the people in these six counties that we represent. Just to give you a little idea, the forecast is for the area that we represent from Box Elder to Payson, basically, from Brigham City to Payson. About 3 million people currently live here, and in the next 30 years, there's a forecast that that will be about 6 million. And so much of that growth will happen right here in Utah County. For example, the current population of the county is roughly 600,000. The forecast in 30 years is to be 1.6 million. So we're looking to add 1 million people in this county over the next 30 years. Now, I see, Councilwoman, that you're questioning, where are we going to put all these people?
Yeah, that's my question. Where are they going to go?
Well, part of it is they're going to go vertical. Part of it is that a lot of the land that is currently occupied or unoccupied completely, or maybe farmland in, say, the Cedar Valley or the southern part of Utah County, will become cities. You may know, you do know, that a few years ago Cedar Hills was just a few hundred people. And now it's a thriving, beautiful city. Vineyard, for example, 5 years ago was 300, 400 people. It's now 17,000. And the forecast is that in 5 years it will be 35,000. Now, just last Friday, I met with some developers that own 300 acres in Vineyard, and they plan to put between 5,200 and 5,500 homes, or let me at least say living quarters, in that 300 acres, along with 2 million square feet of retail and commercial. So it's a very aggressive plan. So what we're going to see over the next several years is a population that becomes quite much more dense than it is currently. That will be the norm in Utah County, even in Salt Lake and to the north. And so what we're charged with as a board is to see to it that we begin now to plan for transit capability across those six counties to service that doubling of population, because there's no way we can double the amount of service roads or double the capacity of I-15. You
begin to drive down I-15 today, you'll notice that we're already six and seven lanes. And if we were to go any wider than that, we're going to start taking out all kinds of businesses that are right up close to the side of I-15. Well, that then harms the tax revenue and the economic base of the counties. So that's not feasible. Besides which, 10 lanes wide would probably make matters even worse, because if I get on in one location and have to change clear to the other side of the freeway in, say, 2 or 3 miles, I'm going to be backing up people like crazy. And so we've got to think of other ways to move people from where they work to where they live to where they recreate. And that's part of our charge. As a result of that, there are some things that we are doing and have done. And I'd like to review some of those with you so that you're aware. We currently do not really service your city. I'm well aware of that. Yet I want you to know that we are concerned about the growth that's happening in this side of the county. Because sooner or later, we've got to take that into consideration and begin to provide some kind of transit services to the people who live and want to recreate right here. I see you've got a beautiful golf course, and there are lots of people that are coming here to enjoy that. So we're going to have to somehow move the people from here to where they want to be. So sooner or later, we're going to have some pretty serious discussions about how to provide transit services right here at Cedar Hill. Let me review a few things that we have done. You may be aware that we introduced a year ago a bus rapid transit system between Orem and Prober. Basically between the Orem Front Runner Station, up through UVU, up to BYU and around the campus there, and down to the Provo Front Runner Station. Since we've introduced that service a year ago, we have carried over 2.5 million riders. During the school year, we were averaging over 10,000 riders a day on UVX. So when school let out this spring, not having had that experience before, we anticipated that the ridership would drop significantly. It did drop from 10,000 to 7,000, which is amazing. We were averaging 7,000 riders a day, even without the two schools being in play. So now school has just started at UVU last week, starts at BYU next Tuesday. And so we will be watching very carefully to see if there's increased ridership over even what we achieved last year. In fact, our conversations with President Wortham at BYU and others there, they are telling the parents of students that are coming from out of the city and out of the state to attend BYU, do not send your children with cars. They do not need a car, and don't let them convince you that they do, because they can get anywhere between here and Ogden for free because of the arrangement that we've made with the schools. UVU and BYU each pay $1 million a year, and their students, their faculty, their staff, and their families can ride UVX, that's what we call it, Utah Valley Express, can ride it for free. And so we've noticed something kind of interesting. We've noticed that because we can track who's riding where and where they're traveling to because of the use of their student ID, we have noticed that there has been, in this last year, 130,000 rides on tracks in Salt Lake County by BYU students going up into the Salt Lake Valley and attending, going places, doing things there, riding tracks. And so we've seen a significant movement of people because they can get on Front Runner. Wherever they live in Provo or Orem, they can get on UVX, get to one of the Front Runner stations, get up into Salt Lake, and transfer to tracks, which they've done a lot of. You're just sitting around with nothing to do some morning about 7, 7:30, 8, 8:30, drive down to Orem, front runner station, and just sit there when the train arrives at either 7:06 or 7:36 or 8:06 or 8:36 and see the number of people who get off front runner and get onto those UBS buses. It's just a massive horde of people. We took the Utah County legislators there last Thursday. We met them there just before 8:30 so that we knew that the train would show up. They were really amazed at the amount of people that were getting off of there and onto the UBX just to go to UBU. BYU wasn't even in session yet. And so there's some things that we're doing, some rather innovative things that are happening to try to facilitate moving people in mass and at less cost to the environment. Think about the cars that we have eliminated in Orem and Provo by carrying 10,000 riders a day. That's probably close to 4,000 or 5,000 cars a day. BYU told us that they sold last year 1,000 fewer parking permits on campus. And they said, now you can drive onto campus and usually find a place to park, where in years past they have not been able to do that. It's almost the same number at UBU. About 900 is fewer passes, parking passes for purchase. So we are having an impact. Now that does have an impact on all of us, even though we're not serving you directly. We're serving you by getting cars off of the road and moving people, making it possible for you to get from point A to point B, if we could ever get the road fixed out here. I apologize for being a little late, I hadn't anticipated that. But that's one thing we've done, UBX. Another thing we've done is around Thanksgiving Point. You know that that place has just exploded in the last few years. So just a week ago Sunday, we started a circulating bus that would go from the Front Runner station to all of the major buildings in the Thanksgiving Point area, including Adobe, Exactware, up the hill, all of those down near the new hospital there. All of those, and it circulates every 15 minutes. There's a bus every 15 minutes all day long. And so that's in order to encourage people to work in the area, take FrontRunner to the station, and then get on a bus, and within a few minutes, they can be wherever they need to be. And then during the noon hour, they can circulate from their office building to the many restaurants that are in the area. So what we're trying to do is to reduce the amount of traffic that is using that intersection at 92 and the freeway, which is what many of your residents would use as they go to work or wherever they're going. They're impacted by that intersection. And so by trying to reduce the number of cars utilizing that intersection, hopefully it will be of benefit to you. So those are some of the things that we're trying to do now. Something else that we're looking at, underway, a study to expand the BRT, the Bus Rapid Transit, from the Provo Front Runner station to the Lehigh Front Runner station up State Street. So we would have a Bus Rapid Transit that runs all the way from Provo through Orem, Pleasant Grove, all the way down State Street here, all the way into Lehigh. Have that same kind of beneficial effect, we hope, that we have with UBX in the Orem Provo area. So that's some of the things that we're planning to do. So what we're trying to do is to make it possible for people to move around the county in ways that are beneficial, useful to them, and beneficial to the rest of us because there are fewer cars moving around. And that becomes a real issue. And it becomes even more of an issue once we get much more dense in our population over the next several years. Now, there's one additional thing that may have some benefit. Recently, you may know that the state established what they call the Point of the Mountain Commission to review what to do with the current prison site and the area between the prison site and Thanksgiving Point. How how do we monitor the development? How do we service that development over the next 15, 20, 25 years? UTA is very active in that commission. We are participating there. We're looking very carefully at how to perhaps take tracks that currently runs into Draper and move tracks through the development of the prison site and then somehow come back across I-15 and service into Adobe and that part of northern Utah County, which of course would impact many of your people that may access Salt Lake County by going down to the SR-92. So these are things that we're planning. It's going to take a lot of money, but we know that. We've done some studies to indicate that, and we are actively pursuing with our own state legislature, the governor, and our federal congressional delegation to raise some funds that will enable us to make these kinds of improvements to serve your people. For example, we have done a full study of the future of Frontrunner. What we're trying to do with Frontrunner is to double track all the way from Brigham City to Payson. Now we only go to Provo now, but we own the right of way all the way to Payson. We have had several meetings with the Payson mayor and council and several of the planners between Provo and Payson. You may know that both MTEC and UVU have significant campus plans for Payson. We've met with them and designed a way to put stops at each of those campuses so that when we do expand Frontrunner that far, we are able to service their campuses. UVU's campus, they intend for between 6,000 and 10,000 students. Now that's a fair-sized university by itself, and yet that will be a satellite campus for them. They're also developing a satellite campus in Vineyard. Immediately to the west, to the east of our Frontrunner station. So we will be able to move their students from Vineyard campus to Orem campus to Payson campus free by just getting on Frontrunner. No cars involved. And so those are some of the plans that we have in mind. Now that the future of Frontrunner would require that we double track. Right now, you may know that we're single track most of the way. Of the 80 some odd miles, there's only 20 miles that's double track, and they're all right around the stations because they have to pass at the stations. If you've ridden Frontrunner, you know that's where we have to sometimes hold until the other train comes because there's only one track. So we're trying to raise the funds to double track Frontrunner all the way from Brigham City to Payson. And then electrify, making it an electric train as opposed to a diesel train. It would start and stop faster. And once we get double tracked and electrified, we could run Frontrunner every 15 minutes instead of every 30 minutes, early in the morning and late in the afternoon and hourly in the off times, every 15 minutes, including Saturday and Sunday.
Do you have the right of way to double track?
We have all but about 2 or 3 miles that we would have to worry about. And in fact, there's probably a couple of those miles that we would not even double track. As you go through the Jordan Narrows between Lehigh and Draper, it's just too narrow, given the fact that UP has their track across there and we have one. We're not sure that we'll be able to double track for a couple of miles there.
But if we can
deal with that, we can pass everywhere else.
Right.
And that's only a $3 billion investment. So we figured that we would be here to ask you for a kind of contributions. But it's about $3 billion. It's a big number, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. But it is one of the things that's on our radar. As I mentioned to you, in order to handle the kind of population growth that we're anticipating in this county and in Salt Lake County and to the north, we're going to have to make that investment over a period of time. To get us started, we have already applied to to the federal government for a $25 million grant to double track just north of Vineyard, between Vineyard and American Fork, and between Draper and South Jordan. Those are real pinch points for us right now. So if we can begin to double track, we start that process of being able to provide more convenient, more on time, more reliable service to all of those who are riding from it. We currently ride carry about between 20 and 22,000 people on Front Runner every day. So it's a fairly, between our buses and the tracks and the Front Runner, we're moving about 150,000 people a day on our system. So there's plenty to do. Now, as I mentioned before, we don't currently serve you, but I want you to know that we are concerned about the growth in this area. As you continue to grow and begin to feel some kind of pressure, you know who to contact. Mayor knows how to find me, I know she does. I'm available to you to answer questions. We will work with you to figure out how we can best serve your people. That's what we're intending to do. That's what we want to do for Cedar Hills. That may not happen this year or next, but it will at some time. If we get a bus rapid transit down State Street, wouldn't it be possible to begin to run buses from here to there? Or perhaps from here to Lehigh Front Runner Station on some kind of express bus. I'm told by Brian Braithwaite over at the Highland, I was reminded very carefully, forcefully, that we used to run two express buses in the morning that would run through Highland and go downtown. When they brought Front Runner into the county, they stopped those express buses. And so I asked Brian, I said, well, what happened to all those people that were riding on buses? And he said, they're not driving cars. So we created a problem. We shot ourselves in the foot. We need to address that. So we will be addressing that, and it may impact many of your people as well. We need to be thinking about how to move that through. So I'm available for consultations, questions, whatever you may have. I will work with you diligently. I represent Utah County on the Board of Trustees, and I welcome the opportunity to be of service to you and your people. We want you to know what we're doing in the rest of the county as well, because that will have at least some beneficial impact, we hope, on the residents of your city. Thank you, Mayor, for the opportunity to make this presentation. If you've got any questions, certainly in the future you can get a hold of me, but this evening if you've got a question.
No, I'm just going to thank you for showing up tonight. Just so the council's aware, Kent is at the monthly NAG meeting as well, and so we always have representation there where we're talking about things from a more regional perspective, and I completely agree with you. While we don't have UTA service in our city right now, our residents leave Cedar Hills every day to go to work, to shop, whatever the case is.
Right.
So,
we got the same thing with Payson. 70% of the people that work leave Payson to go north.
And it wouldn't surprise me if our numbers are much higher than that.
They're probably higher than that.
Yeah. And so having other areas where services being provided to get cars off the road, it obviously benefits our city as well. The only two questions I have, number one, you already answered the one on the express bus. And the second one is, has there been any conversation with UTA on traffic into and out of the canyon? That's one area I can hear you.
Which
before.
Canyon?
American Fork, right?
American Fork Canyon.
We're right here at the mouth
of it.
And from the Forest Service perspective, the number of people who are now using American Fork Canyon because of the
especially
road
with the improved recreation area.
Sure, yeah. It's gone up dramatically. And so
yes. That's
an area that we see consistently is there's only one way, SR-92 into the canyon there, or through Lovely Canyon Road, which you had to experience today. So has there been any conversation on providing some sort of a transit option for people who are coming up SR-92 just to go into the canyon?
The answer to that is yes, because we're receiving considerable pressure to do something with Little and Big Cottonwood Canyons as well. We have done, we're involved in some studies to improve the park and ride and the frequency of buses going up those two canyons. And I continually remind them when they talk about that. Of course, their big concern is wintertime to get the skiers up there. But I remind them all the time that, that's not the only canyon or the only two canyons around here. We have one here, and I know the traffic because I live here in Highland. So I live just south of the 92 over by the Alpine Country Club. So I'm aware of the kind of traffic that comes up here. And I constantly remind people that we need to be considerate of this, especially in the summertime as opposed to the winter, because we're not talking ski areas of this canyon yet. Some would have that change, but at least this would be in the summertime as opposed to the wintertime for the other two canyons. But that, there's been no progress made, but that is a subject that has been brought up. I brought it up myself.
Okay. Any questions from the council?
Yeah, I spent most of my day down in Provo today, and I saw, it looks like the company on the
UBS,
where the buses head.
Yes, yeah, bus rapid transit.
So I know we were using that inception, but I was very impressed. I just wanted to let you know it was pretty impressive to see them like at the stations. It almost felt like it was tracks, honestly, because I was down on University of Santa Street.
Right.
And it seemed like it was working. So I know it's not being taxed yet as far as the people yet. With a lot of people, but there was good ridership on it. I was surprised.
Yeah, it wouldn't be today because BYU is not in session. Right. UBU students generally are not down in that particular area. But when school gets started, there's a lot of apartments down in that area of town now. And so you will see a lot more ridership starting next week, getting down into Center Street and University Avenue.
Anyway, I thought I was impressed. I just wanted to say.
If you want, it's free, by the way. It's free to everybody for the next 2 years.
Oh, I see.
So it's not just students that ride for free, it's free for everybody. So sometime if you're just wanting to try something out, go on a date, do something fun, go down to the Orem Frontrunner Station, park there, jump on the UBX and ride around. It's just free. Try it out. It really is quite interesting. I would suggest you not do it between 7 and 9 in the morning, or perhaps between 4 and 7 in the afternoon. Probably SRO. But it's an interesting ride. We are, by the way, using that as an example to build a bus rapid transit in Ogden. The Ogden Frontrunner Station up to Weber State and over to the KU Hospital in that whole loop. So that is actively being planned right now, and we're almost there with all of the funding to begin to build that.
So the funding for the free fare was actually a federal grant that had to be used for congestion mitigation and air quality. So it wasn't going to be just for, yeah, it couldn't just be used for anything. It had to be for those two items, and this particular project addressed both.
Yes.
It seems like between the communities of Cedar Hills, Alpine Highland, working towards Thanksgiving Point, where there's a lot of business now, that principle could be in place. I mean, I know we have the commuter lane, I think that's all great and everything, but I don't know. I mean, that's on the horizon too, but that concept seemed like it could work for that corridor.
For that corridor, down 92,
yeah.
Picking up people here, maybe up your Canyon Road here, what is it, 146? That's our 146.
State roads,
county roads. We swapped that out for North County Boulevard. I know that because for 13 years I was on the State Transportation Commission. The last 3 years I was the chair of the Transportation Commission. So I'm aware of some of the roads, and I've forgotten that we swapped these two roads.
So are the universities going to continue to subsidize the fares?
Yes, the agreement with the universities is for 10 years.
And from what I hear, it's actually cheaper for them because instead of having to build more parking spots, more parking, whatever resources, yeah, a long way.
Yes. And we're working with the BYU. I don't know what will happen on Thursday night, but we're working with this with BYU for your ticket to a football game is free passage on Front Runner coming down out of Salt Lake County. So that they we would get people down there.
I think you should charge most of those people like 10 times what the right red.
Hey.
Well, be careful, Mike.
And keep those guys away from Cougar Stadium.
But, you know, there's some of those kinds of things that we're working. The same is true for tracks going up to the University of Utah on game day up there. We're trying to get make it possible for people to get there and not have to park up there. And so we're working on all of those possibilities. Do you have further questions?
Thank you for thinking of us. You know, sometimes little cities like us get forgotten and everything gets concentrated in the big developing cities, so I appreciate it.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Again, I live over in Highland, so I'm right next door. And I want to be of service to you if you've got questions. If you think of something later, gee, I have a question, please pose it. We'll get you the answer.
Thank you.
Yep. Mayor, thank you very much.
It's good to see you as always.
Good to see you. See you, I guess, next week at
Yes. All right.
Thank you.
Is there anything you need to go over?
Time is it?
It's 6:47. Okay. Then I will take a motion to adjourn work session.
Motion to adjourn work session.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second? I'll second it. Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are adjourned and we'll be back at 7:00.